Good afternoon, and welcome to another Tag Talks, where we talk awesome topics that are tied to the HR space, and also just talk in general about things that are pretty cool, or nerdy, or a little geeky. In this case, we're going to be talking data again during this session, but specifically about data storytelling. And I have two returning guests to the show today, Mr. Jordan Morrow, as well as Major Tom Maleko. So, guys, hey, thanks for being here.
Absolutely, sir. Looking forward to the talk again today.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for having me.
So, what, Jordan, what have you been up to lately? I know you move around quite a bit, you know, and so maybe this is a little bit of a, you know, precursor to our storytelling with data discussion.
Oh, yeah. How can I spin this as a story? No, I have been traveling. Like, 3 weeks ago, I was gone for basically the working week, home for a week. This week, I was gone basically for a lot of the working week, home again. But a lot of it is, you know, we partnered, the company I'm with partnered with Auburn University data science students to work on their capstone project with them. This week, I was in New Orleans at our customer forum speaking about data and AI. I'm finishing off my fourth book. That one will be coming out the end of this year. My first book has a second edition. I finished that second edition up maybe March or April. That comes out in September. You know, always traveling and having a fun time.
Yeah, a little busy.
Just a little.
Yeah, well, you know, if you're not hustling, then, you know, I don't know. Life may be boring, right?
Oh, yeah. Life, there's too many fun things to do. Life should be fun.
Yeah. Tom, what about you? Because I know you were out here at HRC at Fort Knox, Kentucky, last week? Maybe this week, too. What have you been up to?
Yes, sir. No, so this week, I was down at HRC teaching Data 101. So we had 45 participants in the class where we talk them through all four elements of data literacy. That is the ability to read, work with, analyze, and then communicate with data. And then, of course, about 2 weeks ago, I was out at Fort Leavenworth, Kansas, working with the Army Research Institute, as well as the Center for Army Leadership, working on developing an Army-wide data literacy assessment that should be rolling out to all PMEs come later this summer. So really excited to kind of see, you know, how this process is maturing and not just being the grassroots efforts that, you know, originally started out as, but now actually coming into its own Army element.
Yeah, no, and thanks for highlighting the work you're doing with the Combined Arms Center, CAC, as we call it inside the Army. The Army's really pushing, right, holistically to start to incorporate data literacy into our education system, and the assessment is just part of that, right?
Yes, sir. Absolutely. Right. One of the things you do as part of any kind of education strategy is just to get a baseline measure of where you're currently at, so then you can actually gauge how effective, you know, the material and content is at getting to the objectives that we're interested in measuring.
Yeah. I know I've engaged with a couple of people just on LinkedIn kind of talking through, hey, this is what the Army's doing. So Army's pretty big, and sometimes it takes a few days to put some of the pieces together, but I'm pretty excited with some of the direction that we're going. And then here at HRC, you know, how many Data 101 classes have you hosted over the last year?
Over the last year, sir, it's been, I believe, 4 or 5. And we still have 2 more on the docket for later this year, one coming in July, and then there's, I think, one templated for sometime in the fall as well.
Yeah. And I know I'm going to continue to try and pull you to do those. You know, let's take it up a notch and do, you know, the next level of data, you know, training here for literacy and whatnot.
Yes, sir, absolutely.
Pretty awesome. I've been traveling a little bit too. Some for my role as the Military Postal Service Agency chief. So I've been up and seen some folks in Chicago at the massive mail handling location there at O'Hare Airport in Chicago. But this week I was down at the Sustainment Conference at Fort Gregg Adams down in Richmond, or just south of Richmond. Hey, Jordan, like a lot of the discussion was about how do you use data to do this sustainment, you know, of the U.S. Army and support, you know, the overseas fight in all kind of contingency scenarios. So just a lot of talk about hey, how do you understand the data? How do you use the data? How do you have the platforms that facilitate you using the data? And how do you do all that in contact? How do you do that in the Pacific? How do you do that, you know, with small teams dispersed everywhere? Just a lot of that discussion. Whereas if you went, you know, I don't know, a couple years previous, we probably wouldn't have been talking that much about, you know, the key to understanding a lot of what we're doing, which is the data of sustainment.
Absolutely. Well, it's we're reaching at this pinnacle point, especially with AI now just being so common everywhere. I think everyone wants to integrate it into places, even if they're not ready, which is a mistake, of course. But this overarching need to push forward for the Army to utilize it, the way I like to describe it is data and AI are these augmenting pieces for the military personnel, right? Like if you go through the history of military, new tools and technologies come on the scene and need to be harnessed to be a part of the Army, not to be feared, not to be this or that, but these pieces that can help. And I think data and AI, when we look at a global U.S. Army force, data and AI shrink that world. And they make it so it's much more tangible no matter where you are. And this is one of the reasons data literacy and now AI literacy, these pieces need to become bigger throughout the Army, is because the world is smaller, information is so readily available. Do we know how to harness it for everything going on in the world so that we make smarter, more intelligent decisions?
Yeah. Well, and you'll like this. So we talked storytelling, right? We talked storytelling. And some of the back and forth with commanders and some of the really the lessons learned out of our exercises that we've been doing is, hey, just don't brief the slide that tells you the numbers. You know, hey, I got 100 people,
yeah,
or I got 100, you know, pounds of fuel, or I got, you know, whatever, 5,000 liters of water. How do you story tell and provide an assessment to the commander that, you know, kind of drives his or her decision making in the middle of a fight, right? You know, and
absolutely.
And it was just kind of interesting. I was like, hey, we're doing this podcast on storytelling, and here we are with, you know, 300 of my favorite sustainers in the U.S. Army, kind of talking storytelling tied to supporting, you know, a theoretical fight.
It's like I call the communication piece of data literacy, that's the fourth characteristic, right? And communication truly is the secret sauce to data and analytical success, right? Like if you just share numbers, well, numbers don't necessarily have meaning, but if you could put meaning in a story behind them, and when you're telling that story, let's say I'm speaking to a general over here or a colonel over there, they have different objectives and everything like that. So the story ties the data to the objective. Don't just share numbers, share meaning, share impact, share call to action, share decisions, and allow the data and the technology to be the supporting tool. Right. I was with the CEO of a data and analytics vendor once and asked a question. It's been a few years, so I don't remember it exactly, but something maybe along the lines of how many data scientists would you have, you know, present to your board of directors or your C-suite? And this CEO put his hand up with a big zero. Now, I don't think that's fair. I do think there's data scientists and stuff that can present and can communicate well, but the message is not lost,
yeah,
right? Like over time, we're always sharing data points and all these things, but when 90 to 99% of people did not go to school for work and data, just sharing numbers isn't going to do it. We have to bring it to life.
Yeah, and you know, part of our discussion, which was pretty rich, was, and if you're in the military, you'll get this, but I think it's the same in the business world. It's pretty important if you're putting the numbers together or your role is here, to know what the intent of the commanders, in this case the Army, hey, what's the intent of the commander in this operation? What are those priorities? And ultimately, what's the unit trying to do? So in combat,
yep,
Jordan, right, you know, it's like, hey, we're in some place and we're trying to, you know, do something to the enemy. Well, you got to kind of understand that whole background and what your command has said is the priority, to then do that assessment with that information and data, and then be able to facilitate that discussion back to the commander for decisions to be made So you win.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and you said it really well. It should facilitate a discussion. It should not be, I'm telling you the numbers, let's just move on.
Yeah.
The numbers are a partner to help us make those better decisions. And that needs to happen through discussion, through iteration, through pushback. That's a good thing. And having good stories can help that come to light.
Yeah, because then you can really just talk about the overall state. In this sustainment world, it's really the, you know, how much stuff do I have? How many people do I have? How many, you know, units do I have that can do what the commander is asking, and have that conversation? But, you know, I think that there's a knock on some of us, and maybe it's, the really hardcore data folks like you alluded to. You know, you might seem a little robotic, though, if you're just talking numbers and not really fully understanding the broader picture of what you're trying to accomplish, so then you can have that dialogue, when needed.
Well, it's how many people get excited, besides maybe the three of us, when we say, hey, let's see what the data says. You know what I mean? That's not just going to excite people. Maybe it gets them, their interest piqued a little bit. But like there's a prime example of good storytelling that, like, how many people like Pixar movies, like Toy Story and stuff? Well, Pixar is supreme when it comes to storytelling, and they're using computer animated movies.
Yeah.
And people are entertained whether they're kids or adults.
Yeah.
Because they've harnessed that power of the story.
Yeah.
And so this is actually where my thought process has turned for when we're advancing within data 101, our data literacy 101 courses, is this is like data literacy 201 is the decision making and data literacy 301 is the storytelling.
Yeah. Well, hey, Tom, I want to pull you in. You define for me, please, what you think this data storytelling is.
Yes, I would very loosely define it, right, as the concept around converting your analysis into a narrative structure in order to inform and influence a senior leader action, right? And for me, it's all about contextualizing all the analysis and work you've done. And really, if you've done all the other steps of data literacy, but if you don't ever end up communicating it, really, what good has all that analysis really done for you?
Yeah.
And really, as you're going through this process, to what Jordan was kind of alluding to earlier, it's about that endless curiosity, and that you're trying to kind of convey your curiosity onto your leader, right, in order to help them understand the context of their battlefield, the conditions of their organization, what it may be, or maybe about a way you want to steer the organization in a different direction that we may have not been previously thinking about, in order to, you know, better the organization, get us in a better position, whatever it may be.
Yeah. I kind of, you know, I don't know, I kind of boil it down to you're trying to provide this so what, but behind what you're looking at. And, you know, to let the data drive, you know, the so what, but it takes a little bit of a skill in this storytelling space to maybe get that across, you know, versus just a whole line of numbers that on a chart.
Absolutely. So I think the one thing we have to be careful, though, as we talk through this, right, there is a time sometimes to give that very quick bottom line up front. But one of the things we try to talk, especially when we talk data literacy 101, is moving away from the way we do our typical Army briefs, which is where we throw that bottom line up front and we kind of brief in what is known as that inverted pyramid format, where we kind of give the so what up front and then fill all the details in after that. Sometimes when we do the analysis that we're working on, we sometimes find, you know, very jarring results or results that are very counterintuitive to an organization. And sometimes from a, you know, sort of human evolution standpoint, if we hit somebody with an uncomfortable truth right out of the gate, they're going to start to shut down or they're going to get really reticent about the conversation. And so in some ways, as we talk through it, we go to exactly what Jordan was saying, to the Pixar storytelling approach, where we kind of describe the situation as we currently see it now through our descriptive analytics. We walk them through kind of how we see that unfolding and leading to some sort of an inciting incident, right? And then we build through diagnostic analytics to the point where then when we hit you with that new uncomfortable truth about the way the organization has been working and maybe not working necessarily for the better, it now fits and it is now contextualized, so it's not as out of place as it may have seemed in a traditional briefing structure.
Yeah. Well, it seems that this is a bit of an art form, and you know, with the use of Pixar, Jordan, it's kind of, you know, hey, this is a skill in itself, right?
Oh, it's and Tom nailed one of the words. It's persuasive and influential. Tom used the word influential, right? Like data and analytics and AI, sometimes it is that quick, here it is, here's a descriptive analytic, here's a quick story. It doesn't need to influence anything. There's just information behind it. But when we're talking decision-making and things, data storytelling, there's an aspect built in there in this ability to persuade people. It's almost being like a salesperson, right?
Yeah.
Because, like, it's data, it's analytics, it could be mundane and all of these things, but we need to be able to persuade people. And it is an art form. It is how to use visualizations to bring the story to light. How do you do this? How do you do that? Those are important things to learn within this space.
Yeah. Well, and I think you need to understand who you're delivering this.
Yes.
You know, and I got air quotes around story. You know, you got to know who you're briefing and the context of that too, right?
Oh, absolutely. Audience is one of the key pieces to this. If I'm teaching, let's say, a general, and they don't need to know all the ins and outs and all the technical jargon, but I come in with all this technical jargon and all of this, this general's going to look at me and be like, why did we ever invite this guy to come join me? Versus if I'm trying to work with Tom and I'm trying to discuss a new model I want to try and implement, and this is why, and he and I can go into more of the technical aspects or whatever, it's all audience-based. And so there's multiple facets when you're building the narrative and the story that you look at. You look at what is the objective that you were trying to achieve with the story, who is the audience, and what supportive things can we add to it?
Yeah. And, you know, for me, I just take it back to that example that we were talking at Sustainment Week. This week was, hey, you got to understand the unit's mission and its objectives and its goals and, you know, how the boss wants to prioritize things. That if you're firmly rooted in that and you're thinking through that, you're essentially operationalizing all of that. And then you're using that in how you're storytelling data to make decisions. I think you're doing everything we need you to do in today's Army.
Ah, absolutely. Well, it's this, what I believe you just described is you are wrapping together this initial way of looking at data literacy that spans the entire force. And that is data literacy to decision to story.
Yeah.
And all three of those then bring to life the outcome. At least that's the hope.
Yeah.
Right? Or the decision. And that's really the crux of where the majority of people need to learn, at least for now, right? Who knows what 3 or 5 years down the road will bring. But if you take Tom's class and you go in there and you're learning these principles, and then we apply it to how do we now take these principles to make a decision? And then once you have the decision, how do you get people on board? You just described 101, 201, 301.
Yeah.
And that is the crux of what the majority of people need.
Yeah. Hey, Jordan, so, I'm a reader of your books, so there's that. But did you change the kind of your definition of communicating with data and storytelling along the way?
Oh, but my what I would say is I started the entire journey of data literacy, like officially started building it and whatnot, back in 2016. And I would argue that all three of these levels have evolved over time, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
Data literacy, decision making, and storytelling. Because in one, you were pioneering, and I was helping to pioneer this field and invent it from the beginning. So I'm having to learn as I'm traveling the globe, I'm speaking,
yeah.
I'm finding trends and ideas. To now, to your point, storytelling has become a bigger topic. In fact, pre-COVID, I think it might have been McKinsey predicted in the United States alone, 2 to 4 million jobs would be created for like data translators and data interpreters, basically data storytelling, I believe. But there was a shift in the definition to a degree where originally, I think data storytelling might have been this direct bridge between the business and the data.
Yeah.
And I might be messing that up a little bit or a lot of it, hopefully not. But now it's become, I think, more of a everybody develop your ability to communicate with data.
Yeah.
And I think that is, it's not one person anymore or one team. It's helping everybody get better at this from both a speaking and communicating and a listening and receiving perspective.
Yeah, no, I think that's spot on for us. Tom, did you want to jump in?
Yeah, absolutely, sir. Yeah, so really two points, right? The first one is when I teach the class, right, I often say, we use Jordan's definition of data literacy, which is to communicate with data, but I often well, just with the class, I'm from New Jersey and we don't communicate, we argue. And then I go on to kind of really talk about how, in my opinion, I would more choose the word argue to describe it, right? Because to me, it's really about helping the boss make an informed decision, trying to convince your audience of the stance and where you're at. And so I know this is a point that Jordan and I have discussed at length on separate occasions, right? And so it's kind of interesting to watch how his theory over this has evolved over time. Mm-hmm. That second point I thought was really interesting too is, for me, data communication is where the data literacy really meets the organization, right? That's where data-driven decisions really originate from, because it really is predicated on both the sender and the receiver having some level and comprehension of data literacy in order for that communication to work, right? Because it's two ways. It's the sender and the receiver being able to interpret what's being put out there.
Yeah. Well, hence why we're going at this from CAC, you know, at the CAC level, right? You know, to hit literacy at all levels.
Yes, sir, absolutely, right? Because you have to make sure your audiences that are out there, and really that's the origin for where data literacy came from in the first place, right? When Colonel Nick Clark developed this course, he would describe the situation as one where the Army actually has a ton of people that are doing really good things in the data and AI space. And a lot of times, we don't necessarily recognize that. But where the challenge we found was that when those guys and gals would go back to the formations and try to implement those changes, we were really struggling to communicate back to our leaders, back to the formations, of what to do and how to action on those insights. And so Data 101 was kind of built to expressly get around fixing that particular shortcoming in the way we teach it. Because if you were to Google how do I become better at data, the things you're going to find online are how to learn Python and R and PySpark and learn SQL. For the average user, that's not what they need. They need to know how to put this information into context and how to action what someone else has been able to do or build for them in terms of a tool.
Yeah. It really interesting stuff. Basic question here. And this is probably something everyone's thinking about that's listening to the podcast. You know, hey, what are the techniques to use or improve how you do data communication or storytelling?
Ooh. Yes, you're Tom.
I know.
You want me to go first?
You guys are both pointing at each other. Hey, Tom, you go first, and then Jordan, the Godfather, can go second.
Perfect. So we can clean up the mess that I make, right? But from my perspective, to tell a good data-driven story, it's really comprised of three things, right? And we steal heavily from another author, Brent Dykes, who wrote the book Effective Data Storytelling. Mm. But it's comprised of really the narrative, it's combined with the visuals, and then really where it meets the data. And those are the three things that when you combine it, you're able to start to build that foundation for what makes a good data-driven story. From there, we always talk about, you know, getting individuals to think about the audience, something we alluded to very heavily, and what really motivates that audience, because you should be tailoring your message, you should be tailoring the narrative to get after what that audience cares about and what that mission is organization really is. Those charts, as you're telling that story, are there to help break down some of the audience's guessing machines, to break down some of their biases or their barriers. There was a number of different studies recently published that show that when you present an individual with a chart over a written word, you're able to break down their preconceived notions by an extra 20 to 30%. And so in a lot of those ways, right, we can now start to help convince the audience of where we want them to go and really get to that level of what we call prescriptive analytics. The so what? What do we want you to do with all this work we've put into it? Mm-hmm. And so with that, I'll pass it over to Jordan to see where I screwed up.
Jordan, go.
No, you're great. I think Brent Dykes is a great call out here. He actually lives not too far from me. Brent is, if I'm the data literacy guy, Brent is one of the storytelling guys. And he's got a good Venn diagram that Tom, if that's referred to, is a great one. The one thing that I would say is I'm going to go a little bit different route, because you can look up articles and read exact, start with the narrative and then do this and then do that. What I want to bring to light here is I want people to be themselves and to inject their personality into their stories. Don't be something fake. Don't do somebody else's way. Learn the ways to do it and then inject your personality into it. Here's a good example. What I was writing, I want to say it was my third book. The person helping me edit my chapters pushed back that I was using a personal example. Like, remember, not too many personal examples, business book, blah, blah, blah. And I basically was like, nope, I'm not going to do that, because personal examples bring this to life for people.
Yeah,
if I'm only
right.
using business examples, no. And people like that about the way I think that I, well, I hope they like that about the way I present these things, is you're going to have personal things in there or real world examples. And so you bring yourself to it, whether you're good at telling jokes. Well, bring jokes to the data. That's fine. Whether you've got good ways to tie it contextually, do it. If you're really good at networking with the audience so that you're pinpointing what exact points they need, do it. And so that would be the one thing to add to Tom here, is bring yourself to the story so that you bring it and make it yours versus just trying to fit it into some sort of narrative.
Yeah, no, I love the personal anecdotes in your books, Jordan. So honestly, I think it makes him a lot more readable.
Absolutely.
You know, so it's kind of funny that the system would tell you no, just be robot, make it dry.
It's like, absolutely. Well, it's like there are enough technical books, right? Go buy a math textbook, right? Go buy a statistics textbook. Go buy a coding book.
Yeah.
Like when the majority of people, like a prime example of this is, I was on a trail, I believe it was after my first book came out, and I ran into someone. I believe I was going down, she was going up. She was like, congrats on the book, or whatever she said. And her comment was to the effect, I'm probably too stupid to read it.
Yeah.
Which obviously you've read the books and you know that is missing the point.
Yeah.
And so for me, that's why the personal examples are good, because it's, they don't want, like, I can't go write technical books and expect people to be like, yes, data literacy is awesome. That's not going to do it.
Yeah. Well, but the other thing, and you know, we have this discussion in the Adjutant General Corps, that's the HR folks in the Army. Hey, do you need people that are going to code and do all this hardcore, data work as a data scientist or something? And it's like, hey, I wouldn't mind having some of those, that type of skill in the core and folks in our community. But, you know, this is one of those skill sets, the storytelling of what you're seeing and what it means to, the organization and the goals. I mean, all this is a skill that we really want folks to build. And it's like, hey, you don't have to code or be able to code to be able to do this. Think about it, but there's still some real, real value here to your organization, just being able to do this, understanding how the decisions are made and basic literacy and then storytelling.
Yep, absolutely. And that's it. We need the technical, we need those skilled with it, and we need the literacy, because the technology is going to catch us and it's going to empower us even more. And so having people with those skills partnering with the technical, that's a great way to do it.
Yeah, Tom. Well,
and data is also becoming so much more prevalent, right? When you start looking at things like generative AI now, and whether it's ChatGPT or metadata AI or DALL-E with art, right? Like, this data is now all around us, and we just need to make sure that everyone is fully capable of not only understanding what it is, how it's being created to some extent, and that'll all help them be a lot savvier in terms of both being able to use it and employ it effectively, but also know when they're looking at content that was generated by one of these things.
Yeah, definitely a journey here for a lot of folks, not just the AG Corps, but the Army. So I appreciate you guys continuing the conversation with me via this Tech Talks, but we're here at the end. So Tom, I'm gonna give you the last parting shot, and then Jordan, I'll come over to you before we call it a session.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. Right. So for me, when you think through, data storytelling, data communication, for me, it's not just a visual thing. We often always think about it in terms of verbal presentation. But for me, there's also a power in developing a well-written document, a policy, one-page IP, an article, whatever it is. And so I want to encourage our audience not just to think about it from a presentation standpoint, but how can you also do it as part of writing a one-page information paper that's going to make its way around whatever building you're currently working in. How can you use everything you've learned here to create concise summaries that balance background information and technical depth in order to convey that critical context and information to help your senior leader make a decision?
Yeah, no, that's great. We didn't really talk about, the ability to storytell via that written word, but that's a really great point here at the end, Tom, so thanks. Jordan?
Yeah, I would say, don't hesitate to get started in some way, right? Everybody has skills in some way to do this. Like, for example, using your weather app and you look at a data point, that's data literacy, right? You're figuring out what I need to pack. Like, I will hopefully be doing that when I come to meet Tom at West Point here in June for another Train the Educator, right? Looking at the weather app, figuring out what to pack, that's data. creating your within yourself a data story. So don't feel, anybody who's listening to this, that, oh, I've got to study this before I can tell the story. I've got to do that before. No, just start bringing data points to light and figuring out how to do it. If we hesitate too long, we may wait too long. It could pass us by. So just get going and start in some way.
Yeah, just jump in the deep end here. Listen to the other Tag Talks and everything that Jordan is doing out in the social media world, right? And you'll be okay.
hopefully so.
Hey, gents, I really appreciate you spending some time today. I think this was a pretty good discussion we had. And just continued to look forward to our sessions as we go and talk data, you know, with the Army and with others. So folks that are listening, appreciate you plugging in today. You can follow us always at the Adjutant General on all social media platforms. But we'll post this session here soon on all of your Spotify, your Apple, iTunes, all your sites that you get your podcasts on. But appreciate you linking in and talking and listening and thinking about data. Thanks.